Federal law enforcement gets their man in Minneapolis. The guy who stole their stuff during the ICE protests is now in custody. The murder investigation into the death of a North Dakota woman gets more complicated as the search for clues spills over into Minnesota. And 39 Fargo area workers get their pink slips as cutbacks hit a big local healthcare company. Those stories today on the Steve Hallstrom Show, plus President Trump gets another idea on how to make things less expensive for Americans. We'll tell you about the great healthcare plan. And Americans get more good news on overdose deaths. Wonder why that might be happening. Everybody gets a little something today on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you here on this Friday, January 16th, 2026. Dean Wysocki, chief meteorologist here at Fieldstone Group, is in the studio today. And I asked Dean if he'd stop by for a minute just to give us an update on the weather. Dean, it looks terrible out there, but doesn't appear as though we're going to accumulate a whole lot of snow. It's just going to be moving around a little bit in the eastern half of the state today.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll get about 1 to 2 inches, which, again, not a lot. But when you have 40 to 50 mile an hour winds with a couple inches of snow.
Is that what we've got out there? Oh, my word.
Yeah, I mean, it's we've got, and I've had a few emails asking, why is there not a blizzard warning issued, as you know, we have basically less than a quarter mile visibility. The criteria for blizzard warning from the Weather Service, you have to have a quarter mile visibility or less, snow blowing snow, and that has to last for 3 hours or more with the quarter mile or less visibility. And we've pretty much gotten that most of the morning. I think the reason they're not pulling the trigger yet on the blizzard warning is because we're expecting the snow to become a little more scattered in nature as we head into the afternoon. But we've got about 3 more hours of this steady snow with the wind along with it. So we're going to have near blizzard conditions probably through about lunchtime before things do start to improve a bit, not a lot.
Okay. Now, I can't tell exactly where a quarter mile is, but I can see a little ways today. I mean, it's not great out there.
Right.
But it's not like you can't see to the end of your car hood, at least in Fargo right now.
Yeah. If once you get outside of the city limits, 75 is closed going north all the way up through Grand Forks. So
it's worse.
Yeah. Maybe. Once you get outside of the city limits, conditions really deteriorate quickly. So keep that in mind. And after today, if you can hold off travel until Saturday much better. Then another clipper system Saturday night into Sunday morning with just as much wind and about an additional inch of snow. So we're going to be dealing with the blowing snow again on Saturday night and especially Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday looks very windy with blowing snow on Sunday.
How about our friends in western North Dakota?
So out west, the high wind warnings out west. Now, earlier around the Bismarck Mandan area, it was no travel. And they've lifted the no travel ban, but still travel not advised out there. They've got 60 mile an hour winds. The snow isn't as bad, but they're still getting reduced visibility out there and very slick travel on 94. Up around Williston, Watford, not as bad. The further south and east you go from the Watford City, Williston areas, down towards the 94 corridor, that's where things get hairy.
I'm not seeing any roads closed across North Dakota. You said Highway 75, though, in Minnesota.
75 on the Minnesota side. Yeah. Last check it was.
Dean, thanks. Just take her a little slow today.
Take it slow, and if you can postpone travel till tomorrow, that's your best bet.
Sounds good, my man. Appreciate you. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki joining us here for a little update off the top of the show today. A lot of ground to cover. Let's get to it. There is a lot to tell you about today. A lot of stuff happened in the news cycle. Some major updates, the stories that we've been following for you here over the last few days. So let's get to it. We start with the almanac for today, and I have to make sure I get my little plug in too, that today is January 16th, 2026. Congrats, friends. We made it through the first half of January. We've done it. So it's January 16th today. The Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy, and it's now time for the almanac. Average high for this day, Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo, 18. Average low, 0. Record high 47 in 1942. Record low minus 35 in 1977. Sunrise this morning in the valley, 8:07. Sunset will be at 5:07. We will gain exactly 2 minutes of daylight today. We're going the right direction. In the markets today, markets off to a pretty good start. The Dow is down a couple of points. S&P 500 and NASDAQ up slightly in early trading today. WTI crude oil, about where it's been, about $59 a barrel. Gold today down $9 an ounce, silver down $3.33. And Bitcoin today having a little jump up to about $96,000 today in the crypto market. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $2.83. That's down 1 cent from yesterday. North Dakota's average price, $2.54. Minnesota, $2.65. South Dakota, $2.60. Diesel fuel today unchanged at $3.51 per gallon. As we mentioned, no roadways closed across North Dakota right now. In Minnesota, Highway 75. North of Moorhead is closed. Some poor visibility there. It's going to be tough, especially in the outlying areas today. Just make sure you're taking your time. If you can wait a little bit, sounds like it's going to get a little better as the day goes on. And tomorrow, for sure, things will be a little bit better. WDAY Radio reports that Fargo and West Fargo police are expanding their request for people to help search for a missing woman. 25-year-old Isadora Wengel. Otter Tail County residents now are being asked to check security, doorbells, or trail cameras for a time period between 2 a.m. and 5:30 a.m. on Wednesday, January 7th, so last Wednesday, for suspicious activity or possible images of her. Call any local law enforcement if you happen to have any information as to her whereabouts. 5'3", about 175 pounds, white woman, long blonde hair. So there you go. Star Tribune announces today that the feds have arrested two people after vehicle vandalism and gun theft out of federal vehicles. Federal officials say that two people are now in custody after some government property was stolen on January 14th. So this is 2 days ago during the unrest that followed that second shooting down there. And a wounding of a man who had gotten shot in the leg. FBI Director Kash Patel says one individual who stole federal government property out of an FBI vehicle in Minneapolis has been arrested. He reveals the man belongs to the Latin Kings gang and has a violent criminal history. He says FBI personnel are continuing to pursue other subjects involved. There will be more arrests. Maybe you saw the video of a truck that had somehow gotten in or where they had bashed in a window on a federal vehicle, officers' vehicles. They had gotten a kind of a lockbox of bulletproof vest, that kind of thing, and some ammunition as well. And they had strapped a strap around it and, you know, yanked it out of the vehicle and things like this they're cracking down on. And there's so many cameras out there that they can get your license plates in the vehicle and probably tell who you are. So they're starting to make some of those arrests as well. So just a Latin Kings gang member, nothing to see here. I'm sure just a peaceful person who went to work every day and did nothing wrong. The WDAY radio news team reports that articles of impeachment are being drafted against Tim Walz. All four articles related to the Walz handling of the fraud in Minnesota. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Many Minnesota senators and representatives have gotten on board with this as well. We're going to talk to Jeff Backer here in just a few minutes and get an update from him on his perspective, what he's hearing about this as well. This story is being reported in a lot of different places, but it needs to be reported everywhere. U.S. overdose deaths fell last year in 2025, suggesting a lasting improvement in an epidemic that had been worsening for decades. Federal data released yesterday show that overdose deaths have been falling for more than a year, and it's been the longest drop in decades. The monthly death toll is not what it was before the COVID-19 pandemic, and that is a good thing there. So good news coming for that. I wonder, how could that have happened, right? You shut a border down, take drugs off the street, funny what might happen there. Forum Today reports that Noridian Healthcare Solutions has announced some layoffs. It will affect about 7% of their total employees, including 39 based in the Fargo-Moorhead area. Noridian is a Medicare administrator that processes claims and paperwork and things like that for Medicare. So interesting about how that is happening, an organizational restructuring aligning with federal funding levels. So that's what they're saying about that. Speaking of healthcare, the president is now pitching a new plan called the Great Healthcare Plan. He unveiled it yesterday, called on Congress to pass it into law. It would send payments directly to you and me to cover health costs rather than send federal subsidies to insurers on the behalf of us. No real details announced on this yet, but some very interesting principles as the president tries to make things better. All right, that's a look at some of the stories making headlines here at 16 past the hour on the Steve Holmstrom Show. When we come back, the story of the day, rural health care issues have turned political. We're going to hear from Moorhead State Senator Rob Kupick coming up next on the Steve Holmstrom Show. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wapanin, 15 minutes or less to get you into a new car, truck, or SUV. A reminder that winter weather can mean the occasional fender bender, and if your vehicle ends up in a collision, got to get that taken care of, and the best place to go is Custom Truck and Auto Shine. When a collision is out of your control, their full-service body shop will get you back on the road in a jiffy. Visit CustomFargo.com. Story of the day is how the rural Minnesota community is responding to what's been going on with the ice activity in Minnesota. And I'm going from the good folks in the WDAY radio newsroom, our friends down the hall, and they have a story today about a press conference that was held in Minnesota yesterday down in the Twin Cities where Moorhead State Senator Rob Kupick, a Democrat from Moorhead, joined a number of other people, including Farmers Union leaders and other lawmakers, to talk about the situation going on there. And the headline to this story that got me interested was that State Senator Kupick says ICE agents are negatively impacting rural Minnesota. So I read through the story there and saw there was an audio clip there and took a look at it. And I'm going to play this for you here in just a moment. Basically, what the story is that obviously you know what's happening in Minneapolis. And in rural Minnesota, there is a lot of concern, according to the senator, about what's happening down there and how it is scaring different people. And here's a little bit about how that went when the senator was talking about what's going on in Minnesota with the ICE activity.
I've met with, you know, constituents who they are legal citizens of the United States. They do not want to send their kids to school, to just regular public school, because in our area, if it's just regular Border Patrol and they get detained, they're taken to Grand Forks, which is 80, 90 miles away, and sometimes I got to figure out how they're going to even get back from Grand Forks if they're just picked up and they're legal citizens just because they weren't carrying your documents around. That, you know, nobody's stopping me. I have a passport. You're not supposed to actually carry your passport around, right? You keep it locked up in a lockbox so you don't lose it. So when you travel foreign, you could have it. And to the thought that people are having to, you know, carry documents around just is the complete antithesis of what this country is supposed to be about.
Okay. So my goal here is not to criticize or debate the senator, but I want to give you some facts that I think maybe help tell a more full story about what we're talking about here, and then give you a couple things to think about here in the story of the day. According to federal data, ICE has performed about 600,000 arrests in the last year. Okay, about 600,000. Remember that number. Here's another number you need to know, that civil rights organizations and reporting from outlets like CBS News and The Guardian have identified about 200 specific cases in the last year where U.S. citizens were detained during these operations. Okay, so 600,000 arrests, 200 people that are citizens who were detained for some length of time. If I do the math on that, it is 0.03%, not 3% or 0.3%, 0.03%. So I'll just say under 0.1%, because numbers, you round up, round down sometimes, or whatever. Why does this matter in what we're talking about here? Well, we're talking about a microscopic number of legal citizens that are being detained or had their kids detained or whatever. But this has become a big political issue because of what's been going on. This is all because largely of media coverage of what's happening in Minneapolis and what's happening down there. No question. I'm not saying that media is making this up. But three things to think about here. Number one, if the Renee Good shooting had never taken place, we would be dealing with temperatures way, 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 way lower than what we have right now. This has become everything all the time in the news cycle. And again, as we have said, sad that she lost her life. Horrible whenever there's a loss of life, it's a tragedy, yes. But completely preventable. She put herself in that spot. We should have learned our lessons from George Floyd and COVID that you have to make sure your response is appropriate and not a rash overreaction. Sadly, Renee did not remember that, and because of that, she lost her life. And we see that in the news cycle as well, with different reports and different perspectives and different commentaries. And I would say some of the senators and some of the Farmers Union folks that were in St. Paul yesterday. So now we're going to criticize everything we see from ICE. This is fashionable on the left. So just remember that what we are seeing right now is someone blowing this up 50 times higher and hotter than it ever would have been had there not been the one shooting of the woman a week and a half ago. Second thing to remember, if the real rate of success here is 600,000 arrests and 200 specific cases, we have a 99.997% success rate here. Who among us would not be proud to have a 99.999% success at anything we do? But when ICE arrests 200 citizens, God forbid, and then turns them loose once they verify who they are out of line for instilling fear? This is the message I'm hearing from the senator. Number three is this, and this is, I think, probably the biggest point that I would make to you. If someone is fearful, that's not a good thing. We don't want people to be fearful or anxious. But many times fear and anxiety are things that we create on our own or overplay. You know, I see a wood tick on my arm and I immediately freak out that I'm going to die of whatever that the disease is. No, that's not an appropriate response. Therefore, we cannot use people's feelings as grounds for policy. We need to govern in an adult world on principles of things like law and order. And sometimes there is emotional drama that comes along with law enforcement, taxes, all the things that you get in government. Sometimes those things come along for the ride. But would Senator Kupak rather us not enforce laws because we might make a few people a little less anxious? Well, now that's not a very mature view. I'm not saying the senator is immature, but that is an immature view of how law enforcement needs to do its job and of how government needs to do its work at times. Maybe people are scared to send their kids to school, but how much of that is real? And how much of that is, I just want to be nervous about something? And if you are nervous, maybe you need to make sure that your paperwork is up to date too. It's like when we let the doctors and public health make all the calls during COVID. We have to have some balance here. We can't let one voice dictate policy for everybody and be the only voice we listen to. And that, I feel like, is what we're getting caught up with on the left right now. We're allowing a handful of people, a small sliver of the population, saying, I'm worried and I'm nervous. Okay, let's kick all the law enforcement out. That doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, you might have to have your passport or your papers right now. But for such a time as this, maybe it's appropriate. I think we all need to understand why things might have to be different for a little while. And that's all of us. There might be disruption to all of us. We have had, and everyone agrees, that's why Trump got elected, that the illegal immigration crisis has overwhelmed our country. This is the rubber band snapping back into shape. I understand the senator's trying to listen to his people, but this is one small sliver of his district. And if he thinks that in the rural community this is not popular, he hasn't been getting out enough. And that's what I have to say about that. Get the views of Jeff Backer, Minnesota State Senator for Browns Valley. See what he thinks about this and the impeachment articles against Tim Walz being drafted. That's next. Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness has recently expanded. That means you can get in quickly. What a great organization they have over there, too. They do the mental health, counseling and therapy, physical health as well, physical therapy, nurse practitioners. They have it all. Make an appointment, get in to see them, and you can do it very soon at valleychristian.co. I don't know if they can take you same day, but I know they can turn it around really quick. And that's what you need, right? When you've got health concerns, you want to have someone get in touch and see you quickly so you could get that diagnosis. Go to valleychristian.co. They sponsor our phone line here on the Steve Holsham Show, and we're very thankful for that. Also thankful today for a few minutes with Jeff Backer. And Jeff's a good friend. We've had him on from time to time over the years on the program talking about Minnesota issues. He's got an ag summit coming up in about a week or so going on in Fergus Falls. And Jeff's a state representative out of Browns Valley, Minnesota, kind of down by that Wheaton-Ortonville area. And I asked him to come on and talk a little bit about that. Rural issues always in the news and always important here on the Steve Holsham Show. So Representative Backer, we appreciate your time. Good to see you again.
Hey, good to talk to you, Steve. How in the world are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. I get to hang out with good people like you and all the good folks that listen to the show. So I've got about the best seat in the house, no doubt about that. We just, before we brought you on, we played some comments from Senator Kupak, Democrat senator from Moorhead, talking about how he feels like rural Minnesota's on pins and needles because some people are worried that their children, I imagine he's talking about those that maybe have their family roots in faraway places, that they're worried now that their kids might end up getting confiscated, is another word, or detained at school and end up in Grand Forks. And he paints a different picture than what I have noticed on my own from being back home and over in Grand Rapids over the last couple of weeks or so. I wanted to ask you your perspective on this. We obviously care about those who have come to our country in a legal way and that they are represented well, but do you feel like that there is an attitude and an atmosphere of fear in our rural communities about ICE increasing its presence across Minnesota?
I do not think that is not the feedback that I'm getting from constituents. The feedback I'm getting from is frustration, fed up, of how our current leaders in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, including our governor, are carrying themselves. When Waltz, Fry, especially those two and other individuals basically tell ICE not to come into the community, they are doing more harm because under Minnesota's all states, first of all, because we are our own identity, when ICE comes in, they want a local law enforcement with them. If it's state patrol, if it's sheriff, a deputy sheriff, or if it's a PD. And with what Fry, Waltz, and other, like the sheriff, other sheriffs down in the metro area and other ones have saying, no, we're not going to cooperate with you. That actually does more harm because those local officers have a better idea of the constituents. They have a better of those areas. They have a better idea of Minnesota law, which then ICE would have to work under Minnesota law agents. And I'm not saying anything bad about ICE agents. That's not what I'm saying here. But what I'm saying is that when Waltz takes a hand-off approach, like he has done with the fraud situation, and we could get into that there, we get happy. This is the reason why we have frustration in rural Minnesota. I respect Senator Kupak, but he is 100% wrong on this one. He needs to get behind, away from the camera, and get out into rural Minnesota, because what people are frustrated is that's what they're frustrated. Also, what's frustrating people is I have constituents who travel to other states. Minnesota used to be seen as a gem of our nation. They were down at a show down in Indiana, and the feedback they got is, like, what in the Sam heck is going on in Minnesota? So those are the frustrations that I'm hearing. People are very frustrated. One other point on this thing is Louisiana just finished a 30-day ICE agent. They worked, ICE agent worked with the local law enforcement in that state. And did we hear about any protests? No. Also, ICE agents have worked out in greater Minnesota. Do we hear any protests? No. When you work together, you can focus on the criminals because that's what people are concerned about. They have, ICE agents have picked up some really, really bad people. That's what they want to do. And when you have people like Walt, like Fry, and other individuals who are not saying, you know what, let's figure out a way to work together instead of calling these people Nazi. He's not doing any good. And when you have fries that get the F out of our community, which he's pandering to his base, that's not why he's a mayor. He is a mayor to lead the community, not to put a stake in the ground and make things worse.
I saw in the Star Tribune article today, I have to tread lightly when I go to the Star Tribune because it's really hard to read that online newspaper right now. It is so biased against everything that's happening with law enforcement and the president right now. But they do have some articles in there that have some news value. And today I learned in one of their articles that a man who's been arrested, who is stealing equipment out of the vehicles of the federal agents, guy who's been arrested as a member of the Latin Kings gang and has a violent criminal history. I was told, Jeff Backer, that there were no illegals and there were no criminals in Minneapolis, and ICE didn't need to be here.
Yeah, well, someone's living in a fairyland,
yeah.
And so forth. There are bad people. Moms, kids, families need to be protected from these bad individuals. Rapists, criminals, just like you talked about. And here's what has happened. When evil is underground, evil flourish. And ISIS would be able to do, I would say, a quicker job if our leaders would work together. Walz has not done our state good in regards with looking the other way, with fraud. And I mean, we can get into the debate on that, on if he knew more. But at the end of the day, he is called to create, when he ran, he said, one Minnesota. Well, one Minnesota also means to protect the folks that get up, they work, get their kids to school, they rear their kids, they ask their children to do well, grandchildren and so forth, and they pay taxes. These are the people that work and make our society. Like you talked about there, Steve, that person does not contribute to our society, needs to get out of the street, needs to get out of their country. If you don't want to live here and follow our laws, then get the heck out.
Yeah,
period.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
We have too many people who work their tails off to make our community. We have tons of volunteers who make our community good and so forth. Okay, be part of the society. Don't be a selfish SOB.
Yeah, absolutely. Can the legislature do anything to force Minneapolis, St. Paul, whoever we're talking about, for their local law enforcement to support what ICE is doing? It seems like the local law enforcement there is being told to stay away, don't help, don't support, don't get involved, when we need to have our local and our national law enforcement all working together. Can the legislature do anything to make it harder for Walz and Fry to say no to that?
You know, it's a difficult situation for us to do that. We do have people who think we could go and force people to do what we do. You know, go and arrest Walz for what it is. There is a procedure we have to follow. We're going to follow the law. That's what gives us integrity. But to answer your question directly, no, there is not. But there is influence that we can put on. There are strategies that we can do. You know, this is not science. It's political science, okay, when you're playing in this arena. And I'm not using the word playing, but you know what I'm talking about, okay?
Yep.
Don't take that the wrong words if people are listening. This is serious. This is not a game. But we do work in the political science arena and work with emotions and feelings. So a lot of the influence that we have is behind the scenes and so forth. Is there things that we can do, encourage? Yes. Is there something we can do immediately? The biggest challenge that we have right now is we only control one half of one leg of government, okay? That's the practical sense. Now, that doesn't mean we don't sit on our hands and don't do anything. And we are doing things behind the scene. We have heard that there are law enforcement that are in the areas that's been told to step down because Walz basically told the troopers you can't work with them, BCA you can't work with them. Of course, we have the mayor of Minneapolis telling those law enforcement, you can't work with them. Law enforcement wants to work with ICE because it works better for Minnesota citizens. Even those agitators, which I don't think they work, but agitators, it would be better for them too.
Yeah.
Because the local people understand. It's just like you know, I represent my area. If you're going to come in my area that I represent, that I'm, I have the honor to represent, I have a better background information than somebody from Shakopee.
Yeah, okay? That's right.
Just the facts. So, so we're going to, there are things that we are doing behind the scenes where we continue to push. We're not going honk the horns and throw firecrackers and look like we're a bunch of teenagers that aren't disciplined, okay? I mean, this is just stupid what they're doing, and so forth. There are civil ways of handling, and we're going to do the civil, and even though sometimes we would rather bust their chops, but that's not the right way of doing it.
Right. Jeff, I've got just a short time here. We're up against a hard break, but two quick questions. Number one, do you support, there are articles of impeachment being drawn up by some Republican lawmakers. Do you support the impeachment of Tim Walz?
He needs to resign or be impeached. He was elected to be good stewards of our resources. We have seen constant poor stewardship. It's no different if I have a loan with the bank and I'm not making payment. The bank needs to do their job to keep me accountable or take away that. Same thing here. There needs to be people, and we're not just talking about Walz. There are people who did not do their job in his administration. They need to be accountable. I'm accountable if I don't make a payment to my bank. I'm accountable if a pager goes off 911 and I'm volunteering as an EMT and I don't show up. I'm accountable for my lack of action.
Yeah.
He needs to resign or be impeached.
Okay. I only have about 20 seconds left. Where can we go online to find out more about this ag convention that you're putting together? You got a great idea. Where do we read about it online?
It's next Thursday. Go to my Facebook page, but next Thursday, January 22nd from 2:30 to 4:30 at the Jensen Farm. Farmers, ag businesses are welcome. 2:30 to 4:30, Jensen Farms, just west of Fergus Falls.
Okay.
On State Highway 210.
Very good. Go to his Facebook page and find out more about it. It sounds really great. Jeff, wish we had more time. Thank you for doing this. All the best. Keep up the fight.
Thank you for your hard work, too, and all the listeners. Keep up the
fight. All right. Sounds good. More on school lunches next. 701-271-1100 if you'd like to weigh in on our conversations. Studio at flagfamily.com is our email address, and you can text me as well at 701-237-1590. Welcome, my friend. Thank you for being with me here today on the program, whether you're listening in the Red River Valley, out in the oil patch, anywhere in between, or anywhere around this great, wonderful globe of ours. Glad to have you with, whether you're listening on the mobile app, the smart speaker, or on the computer, no matter how you catch us. Thankful that you're doing it here today. I want to continue a conversation we had yesterday. A number of you weighed in on your thoughts on the free school lunch and breakfast plan that's being talked about in North Dakota. It's a item that's going to go to a petition. Secretary of State has approved the petition. Now they have to get enough signatures, and if they get their 4,000 signatures or whatever the number is, then it will go on the ballot, and North Dakotans will vote whether to have the state of North Dakota pay for a free breakfast and lunch for every school kid in North Dakota. And I should know this, and I don't. I believe it's public school. Like, private schools can kind of do their own thing. But public schools, anyway, the cost is $70 million a year. And I've told you that I have concerns about this because we have a program in place already to pay for meals for students who cannot afford them. It's about $40,000 household income for a family of four. So for the families who really do have next to nothing, they are taken care of already. And there's a discounted price for families who are at another level of income, like $60,000 or under. They have a discount as well. So under the plan that's being proposed here, the poorest families in North Dakota are going to be paying for the free lunches and breakfasts of the richest kids and families in North Dakota. And that doesn't make sense to me. There is a website out there for the group that's putting this together, and I have to give them credit. They've done a very nice job of putting together a good website, kind of states their case and all of their rationale, called togetherforschoolmeals.org. I always want to have informed conversation and debate, so I'd invite you to check it out as I have, as well. A couple of numbers I found as I was researching a little bit more about this last. Oh, by the way, I've invited the togetherforschoolmeals.org people to come on the show. So far, they said, hey, we would be interested. We'll try to get somebody to get in touch with you. I've not heard anything. It's been like 3 or 4 days. So anyway, I'll try to get them on because I do think it's a good conversation to have. We all want to have informed opinions on these things. So here are some numbers from the U.S. Department of Ag. 14.1 million kids live in what they call food insecure households. They just, for whatever reason, don't have the food or the resources. That's 1 in 5. 1 in 5 American kids is the number there. When universal free meals ended after COVID, participation in school lunch dropped by about 1.8 million kids nationwide. So that's giving some momentum to people to say, hey, there's kids that were getting free lunch that aren't getting it now because we don't have the all the stuff that we had with the COVID money running around. And even under the current system, they say about 20% of students who technically qualify for free or reduced price meals don't participate in the program. So why is this that kids who could get food don't? The needy families, why are they not kids not getting their food? Well, there's three main reasons for this, apparently. Number one, a lot of families fall into the administrative gap, they call it. To get free lunch, parents have to fill out complicated forms every year. Well, okay, so if that's the case, that's up to you as a parent to try to understand and do that to get your kid taken care of. If we're going to have a $70 million a year program because it's a little hard to fill out a form, I think we just need to do, we need to let adults be adults and take care of their kids. Second, the stigma of poverty. 11.5% of students report feeling embarrassed to use meal assistance. I get it. It's kind of a social minefield. If you're in middle school or high school, you don't want to be the poor kid. I get all that. But can we not, like, say every kid who goes through the lunch line has a pass or a card that looks the same, and you're just loading whatever on your card that you get? I would think that we're doing this already. I mean, you don't want to have a gold card for the rich kids and a red card for the kids that don't have any money. There's got to be a way to fix that. And then there's another argument there that there are people who earn too much to get the free lunch but not enough to actually afford it, and that it's 40 cents a day, and when you got to cut your budget because of rent or gas prices, 40 cents a day is too much. 40 cents, that's $2, that's $8 a month. I'm just not going to say that we need to spend $70 million a year when there are some parents who may feel like, you know, 40 cents a day, we just can't do this anymore. I guess the summary argument you hear to a lot of these things is that buying school lunch for everybody or providing it is the only way to make sure a kid doesn't go hungry during the school day, so you just have to do it. I just have to believe that smart people can find better solutions than a blanket approach that pays for a lot of things that are not needed. Teachers are watching. If you're a teacher, I would love to hear from you on this. I know we have a lot of teachers and education professionals that listen to the show, listen to the station. I would like to hear from you. Am I all wrong on this? I might be. But I see this money and I say it doesn't make sense to me. There's got to be a way other than saying we're going to provide free breakfast and lunch. It's not just one meal. It's two to every kid, whether you need it or not. So let's keep that conversation going as we continue into hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show. Coming up next, the key three. We're finding out more about these people in Minnesota who are snatching the stuff from the feds, and now we're arresting them. Good news. Minnesota Highway 75 has reopened for those of you in northwest Minnesota. Dean was telling us that it was closed earlier today. There are no roads closed across any part of northwestern Minnesota or any part of North Dakota right now. I just did an update on that over the top of the hour break here. And there's, I mean, everywhere the roads are bad, right? There's a lot of snow and ice and all that stuff everywhere. I guess not as much ice, but certainly snow, and the wind is making it tough. But if you're wondering, is there anything closed? There is not. Nor is there really any no travel advised. Looking at both maps here, North Dakota has nothing where they say no travel advised on the Minnesota side. I'm not seeing, well, there's one stretch between Grand Forks and Crookston on Highway 2 where they're saying travel not advised. And that's the only one that I am seeing here right now. So, again, not great out there. If you can put it off, fine, but that's probably the way to go. But it is our part of the world. This is what we do this time of year. We get out and we go places, but you got to be smart while you're doing it because it's not easy out there. 10:07 here, 7 past the hour on the Steve Hallstrom Show. And before I get into the key three, let's go back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Brian wants to talk about school lunches. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Steve. How's it going today?
Good.
Good. Hey, you know, I just wanted to say I'm looking at the math on this, and if you're looking at $70 million is what it's going to cost a year to feed every kindergarten through 12th grader, we just took $35 million. Let's say half of the kids need help, and I'm all for helping kids that need help. I have no problem with that at all. But you just took $35 million that could have gone to help these families with other things like, you know, rent or clothing or whatever, and you gave it to people that don't need it and didn't ask for it. Have you ever driven around Davies High School parking lot and see the vehicles in there? These people aren't, you know, and as a parent, I don't want the government paying. I work hard to make my money to take care of my children. I'm proud to do that. That's my job as a parent, and I have the means to do it. And when you take money that could be going to help the needy and you're giving it to me who can already take care of myself, you're not helping anyone. You're hurting.
Brian, good points. And I think you and I agree on a lot here. Yeah, ultimately, if you boil it down to the most simplest form, you're saying that we are spending money on something that could be better used elsewhere. And yes, I know a lot of people say, well, oil pays all the taxes. Well, they only pay about half of it. Now, that's a big half, and we're thankful for all that. But it's you and me, Brian, if you live in North Dakota, but all of us who live in North Dakota that pay the rest of that. So if we can save an expense and put it somewhere else, why would we not want to do that? And I think you're saying the same thing. There's a million different things that we could put our money toward. I don't know if it's, you know, paying for people's housing. I don't know if it's health insurance. I don't know if it's just some other kind of a, you know, property tax rebate or statewide sales tax, incentive come from the state. I don't know. It feels to me like we need to look for places to save wherever we can, because there are a lot of valid needs. I mean, it's valid to pay for the kids that don't, like you said, Brian, the kids that don't have, their family at home doesn't have anything. That's valid, and I think we should have right. that program. But the problem is we do. We already have that program. And instead of paying for everybody, if you want to say, well, we really think the threshold should be moved up, so instead of a family of four making 40, it should be up to 50, 60, whatever. I mean, all those ideas are better than just paying for everybody without thinking about it.
Yeah, it does. It's like a tax break for the wealthy who didn't ask for it. It's insane way to use our tax dollars. Yeah. And I just, again, yeah. I'm all for feeding children that need it. But
of course,
you know what? I take care of my children. I don't need the government stepping in and paying for their food. I can take care of it.
Yeah, so thanks,
give that
Brian.
Money to the ones that need it.
Yep, good Thank points. You. Thanks for calling today. The only thing I'd add to that now is that not everybody is wired the way Brian is and the way I am. And I get it. There are some parents who just don't care about their kids, and they don't care if they're going to go hungry. You have some of that. And I don't know how to exactly address that other than to say nothing is ever going to be perfect. You're always going to have a few. And maybe for those people, that's where you're relying on your teachers to say, look, something's not right here. Let's dig into this a little bit. I know that a number of the it has been said, I don't know this, but one of the things that's been said about some of the new American communities, depending on where you came from, is that the family unit is not like we think of the family unit here. And that parents, you know, here in our culture, it's what Brian just said. I'm proud to be a parent. I love my kids. I'm going to take care of them. That's not true everywhere in the world. Now, I would also ask a question about why are we bringing in people that come from those kind of places? But they're here, and so be it. So how do you handle that? I don't know. I don't have a perfect answer for that. I just don't. But I would think that there's a way to figure out how many, and I don't know how many of those are. That's the other thing, too. People make it say, oh, there's all these people that have that are this way and that way. I don't know how many parents are sending their kids out the door and they don't care about their kid. But it feels like let's solve that problem rather than just paint with such a broad brush. So thank you, Brian, for the call there. All right, let's get into the key three here on the Steve Alstrom Show. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Story number one. This is one that does my heart a lot of good. A man has been arrested in Minneapolis after taking federal government property out of an FBI vehicle, stealing it basically, on, I believe it was Wednesday night, when the second person down in the Twin Cities got shot by an ICE agent, shot him in the leg. They have arrested this gentleman. And he is a member of the Latin Kings gang with a violent criminal history. One other person was arrested as well on the night of January 14th. And Attorney General Pam Bondi says that the man stole FBI body armor and weaponry. Tough thing about all these cameras out there with all your buddies taking video trying to catch ICE doing something bad. They might catch you doing something bad. And now they've got your description, your vehicle, your license plates, and all of that. So this is good, and hopefully this news gets spread around the antagonist community as well. Story number two, ABC News says U.S. overdose deaths fell through most of last year, suggesting a lasting improvement in an epidemic that had been worsening for decades. Now, the drop toward the end of the year, I guess, slowed up a little bit from the beginning of the year. And the monthly death toll is still not back to what it was before the COVID-19 pandemic, let alone where it was before the current overdose epidemic struck decades ago. But overdose deaths, the report goes on to say, peaked in 2022 with 110,000 fentanyl deaths, fentanyl and heroin deaths, basically, I guess, any sort of OD. Fell a little in 2023, then plummeted 27%. In 2024, and in 2025, the new data says that overdose deaths have been falling in a great manner as well. So the numbers continue to fall. So I thought this was interesting too. CDC officials say deaths were down in all states except Arizona, Hawaii, Kansas, New Mexico, and North Dakota. Very interesting there. So. Funny what happens when you cut off the supply at the border and you say, we're not going to have this anymore. You might have less overdose deaths. And isn't that a nice thing? And finally, this story jumped out at me today. The Kobasi letter, which is a social media account that I follow on X, quoting data from Moody's Analytics, says the top 10 of U.S. earners now reflect a record 49% of all consumer spending. The percentage has risen 13 points over the last 30 years, marking a dramatic shift in spending power. At the same time, the bottom 80% of earners represent now just 37% of total consumer spending, down 11 points since 1995. Now, I did want to dig into this because I thought, okay, that's interesting. But could it be possible here that maybe people in the top 10% are just spending like crazy, but people in the lower 90% aren't really cutting back at all? But because the top 10% are going nuts, they are accounting for a larger percentage share. And my kind of response that I put into Gemini on that said, sharp observation. You're exactly right. The bottom 90% hasn't necessarily stopped spending, but they've become more stagnant. So when you see things like this, you got to think, okay, is this really telling me what I think it's telling me? Because in this case, it wasn't telling me what I thought it was. And it's not that things are getting great, that things are great for the lower 90%, but it's the top 10 that are really spending. So that's why, like yesterday when I gave you that story about Delta Airlines and that they are selling way more of the business class and first class and the economy is just kind of hanging there. Thought that was interesting. When we come back, the best thing are hurled all day. Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center has dedicated his professional career to transforming smiles and restoring confidence. One patient at a time. It's his calling. And when you talk to Dr. Matt, you get that feeling pretty quick. It's not just a job for him. He helps everybody at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, young, seasoned, and everyone in between. Whether it's a single tooth or full mouth restoration, he's got the skill, compassion, and experience to change your life. DakotaDentalImplant.com, DakotaDentalImplant.com. All right, I want to play for you a clip that goes about a minute and 45 seconds. And this is a segment that I call Best Thing I Heard All Day. It's a story from Polk County, Florida. And if you wonder where Polk County, Florida is, well, if you know where Orlando is, you kind of go south and then west over to the Gulf side, and that's where Tampa is. Polk County is kind of right in between the two. All right, a little south of Orlando, a little east of Tampa, and there you go. So Polk County, Florida Sheriff Grady Judd was updating the 2025 arrest numbers to the local press. Said he wanted to talk about the crime numbers stemming from illegal immigrants. And a reporter asked him why he used the term illegal instead of undocumented. Wow, did he have an answer?
Well, I don't call them undocumented immigrants. I call them illegal immigrants because that's what they are. The reason they're not documented is they're not legal. Okay, they're illegal immigrants. 74% of the illegal immigrants that we've detained have had criminal charges against them.
74. Okay?
The other 26% were riding with them. Okay? So when we stop a car, we run a warrants check on everybody in the car. When there's a call for service, we run a warrants check on the victim, the suspect, and all the witnesses. Okay? We call that 26% collateral. But three out of four of them have committed another criminal charge. Now, think about that for a second. They couldn't commit that crime if they weren't here, mm-hmm. but they did. So now you're having to take your taxpayer money and my taxpayer money and pay for the prosecution of those folks, pay for the public defender that defends them, pay for the jail and the prison sentence, depending on what the charges are. So, and the majority of the 26% that was left out of the, 74% of them had criminal charges. They were what we call collaterals, and most of them were with the person committing the crime. And that's the numbers that we have so far. So how many illegal immigrants have we arrested this year? We've arrested 557 that have criminal charges as well as they're here illegally. That's just this year.
Huh. Isn't that something? 557 just this year. So I would say that a couple things come to mind. Number one, when people say, oh, it's just people looking for a better life. Wow. 74% have another criminal charge. And by the way, 100% of them have committed a criminal act, right? By coming in illegally. Of those people, 74% have done something else illegally. And I appreciate the sheriff, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, for spelling it out as specifically as he did. It was the best thing I heard all day. And these are things that I kind of think in my head, too. He said it well. Think about all the money that we pay for the defending and the trying and put them up and the whatever. And look, no system is going to be perfect. You're going to have people who are going to sneak into your country. But they weren't sneaking in the last 4 years under Joe Biden. They were walking across. He was busting them in, flying them across the border. They were doing everything they could to bring in these people. And now the sheriff says, out of every 100 that we find that are here illegally, undocumented, illegal, whatever you want to call them, 74% have committed another crime. There's one way to make sure this doesn't happen. If they were not here, the sheriff said it, if they were not here, they could not commit the other crime. I just thought that was really good and really well said in about a minute and a half. All right, 701-271-1100. If you want to ask a question, weigh in, give a criticism, a compliment, whatever you'd like to do. We'd love to hear from you today on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. A couple of texts have come in. We'll hit those too, but let's go to the phone lines. John wants to talk about some college football, apparently. Hey, John, you're speaking my language, my man. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, first of all, I really appreciate your show, appreciate how you do it. I'm thankful that you moved to the morning. You're very good at what you do, man, and just keep up the good work. Yeah, you know, a couple things on that Oregon-Indiana game. They said Oregon had 55 four- and five-star players.
Yeah.
Indiana had eight. And so,
and they're all four stars, by the way. They don't have a single five-star kid on that roster.
And I'd run by you another time, your thought on NIL and the transfer portal, and I've not heard your response. And so I thought I'd bring it up again. And what's your thinking on that? And what needs to be done, do you think, Steve?
Yeah, so I don't mind kids having an option to do something at one point. I would be more in favor of you can transfer once rather than you can go every year. It's just, it's created on the field when you're watching TV, the games are fine. I mean, no one is saying there's a problem with the product, but what they have done to just the administrative and the compliance piece of it is just ridiculous. And I mean, kids don't need to be going somewhere different every year. And some kids hop in the portal to make more money at any time. Maybe it's just my oldness than anything else. I like the way it used to be. It seemed pretty clean. There is enough money out there, and I think it is fair to allow kids to make a change at some point. I just don't agree with as much. I think they have to do something with it. But I will have to say, I do like the fact that Texas Tech can buy a football team, and all of a sudden that there's a new team. And it's kind of fun when you've got some new teams that are doing it, and you can argue about is it right or wrong or whatever. But those are my thoughts on it, John. So thanks for asking, and thanks for giving a call. And, yeah, sorry about your Bama team. They didn't quite roll tide quite as long as I know you'd wanted them to. So thanks, John. Let's go to Tom on line two. Tom, good morning. What's on your mind,
morning,
good sir?
Steve. Yeah, morning, Steve. Yeah, I miss you in the afternoon because that's when I often work. I don't work much in the mornings. So, but hey, that's beside the point. But hey, when are you going to buy another radio station up there in the Northland? That's where I'm from, is that area. So WDSM comes to my mind, or what used to be a 710 in Duluth. It would be nice if you got an anchor into Duluth.
Oh, okay. Well, we're always keeping our eyes open. Right now, there's kind of a change, certainly. A lot of people that are in their 70s and 80s that have had family-owned broadcasting companies for years are getting out of the business. So there will be opportunity. I don't know. We have to be really careful about that. There's a lot going on already, but we're always keeping our eyes out. And anything in Minnesota, if you could get more common sense in Minnesota, would be a good thing, Tom. Thanks for the kind words, my friend. I recognize your voice from calling in the afternoons, and I know that it's been hard to do that, but thanks for calling here in the morning. I do appreciate that. All right, when we come back on the program, got a lot left to do here. Bridget Riedel, our ag director, will join us, and we're going to talk about a lot of things going on in the farm community, including beef prices continue to soar. Will that be changing anytime soon? That and more coming up next. It is time to get another qualifier. Heading to the big party at Kingpin's on February 3rd. Alan Paulson of Moorhead, you have 11 minutes to give us a call at 701-271-1100. We had a run of Minnesota people, Addison. It's Moorhead, 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 and I think we had Perham yesterday.
They're popular on the show.
I guess. People from Moorhead and on the Minnesota side are signing up on AM 1100 The Flag. You can too, am1100theflag.com. Sign up there, and then when we call your name, if we do that three times every day here on The Flag, you'll have 11 minutes. And let's call it 10:33, so that would be 10:44 that Alan would have until. So, Alan, if you're listening, give us a call, 701-271-1100, and save your spot at the final giveaway party at Kingpin's coming up on February 3rd. And the winner of this little contest is going to get round-trip airfare for two people from Fargo to Las Vegas, three nights hotel, two tickets to the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day, and $500 spending money. How great is that? Want to say thanks to Kingpin's, Frontier Airlines for making it possible, and Allsager Meats. Man, they have some good stuff there. I love the place. Great steaks and beef products. good chicken breasts as well. They've got the new Alsager Meats pizzas, the Carnivore, the Chicken Alfredo, Pepperoni Classic, Signature Supreme. They've got the Chuck Wagon Beans, Carl's Lefse, made in Holly, the only ones in the FM area to carry it. Four locations around the region, Veterans Boulevard, Timber Creek Parkway in Fargo, and Breckenridge and Audubon, Minnesota. So thanks to them for sponsoring the big Valentine's Day in Vegas trip. We are blessed to have on our staff here at Fieldstone Group an unbelievable ag director in Bridget Riedel. And it's always fun for me as an old farm kid. Grew up on a hog and cattle farm. Those of you who have started listening to me in the new time slot maybe don't know this, but grew up on a hog and cattle farm in central Minnesota. So I love talking ag with Bridget, and she knows so much and so many people that it's always fun to have her wisdom on the program today. Bridget, good morning to you. How are you, my friend?
Fabulous, Stephen. This seems like a great time to introduce ourselves to a new time slot here on the
fly. There you go. Yes, it's been a little bit of an adjustment. I've only said good afternoon, friends, a couple of times. So we're figuring it out, but it's all great. And a lot of our listeners that are regular listeners in the eastern part of North Dakota on WZFG, the flag, have heard Bridget's voice a time or two. If you're listening out in western North Dakota and catching this show for the first time, you may not have heard Bridget, although she was on with Scott during the What's on Your Mind program in this sort of time slot too. But if you've not met Bridget, you're going to love getting to meet her and getting to know her a little bit. And I love the fact that you are tied into so many different storylines and topics in the ag community that you're always following everything for us. So what's going on in the news cycle today? What are people talking about and buzzing about?
You know, there's a lot of big discussions since Monday's WASDE report came out. WASDE is the U.S. government, U.S. Department of Ag, actually's report on world supply and demand. And surprisingly enough, they really increased the amount of bushels of corn harvested in 2025, much to the shock of many. And those bushels have... they drove down the market for a while. Well, it's like that ripple effect. We're going to have a splash. It's going to smooth out. But it's interesting to note that Trump had already announced, the Trump administration had announced that there would be farmer bridge payments that would be paid at the end of February. And now with these extra bushels coming into the marketplace, bringing down our overall pricing, it's sort of a wash. We see that there's going to be a number of farmers having very close conversations with their bankers and lenders going into the new year. Now, this is not telling you that every farm is broke. There are certainly those that are still doing well. They may see a decrease in some of their assets because they are having to rely on those or mortgage those more heavily than what they have in the past. We know that we had a bumper crop of corn. Soybeans were okay in the region, and wheat has been on a downward trend for quite some time. And we're going to watch to see what this does for planting intentions going into the 2026 season. We also see that Bayer Crop Science has announced a couple of new modes of action into the active ingredient lineup that they use for herbicides for the coming year. That's a breath of fresh air, considering the fact that we are seeing some of our longer term AIs, which in this case would be an active ingredient. Some of those older molecules don't have the resiliency that they once did for weed control. We're seeing less effectiveness and signs of resistance in a number of products out in the marketplace. Water hemp and kochia continue to dominate our headlines, especially in North Dakota, Northwest Minnesota, as our prominent weed problems. And if you don't have water hemp yet, oh, good news, give it time. You will. Cattle prices are doing well. We certainly have had some year-on-year highs. And beef production took an interesting turn, which we'll probably have to get into in more detail over the next few weeks. But Brazil is now outpacing the U.S. in beef production. So maybe there's a little bit of a change that folks were once expecting. Brazil is also the global export leader for corn and soybeans, more so than we are at this point. So there's a lot of things that are shifting and changing. I think, as you said, as a couple of farm kids who've been watching what once was just what mattered in our county now become much more of a global stage to pay attention to. There's a lot on our plates, and the next 2 months are going to be filled with the opportunity to attend webinars, in-person meetings, and learn so much more as far as our economy, how it affects us here in North Dakota, and what farmers' decision-making plans are going to look like as we go towards planting season.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So I have some questions on your story. Yeah. It's a really good summary of things. And boy, there you go. In just about 3 minutes, we got the digest of some of the biggest stories going on. So well done. So you talk about the WASDE report. Why the surprise, Bridget? Was it bad projections throughout the whole growing season? All of a sudden, like, oh, I guess we harvested way more corn than we thought was out there. How does this happen?
I think there's a couple of things to keep in mind. If you listen to the National Ag Statistics Service, they tell you that farmers only actually, only about 40% of farmers report their planted acres to them. What's different is when you go to the Farm Service Agency, you have to certify your acres in light of government payments or for crop insurance. So there's this gap where information is not reading from one agency to the other, perhaps. Additionally, we had all sorts of discussion late in the growing season about disease pressure, southern rust. We saw much more tar spot than we had in the prior year affecting corn. And tassel wrap was the point of discussion in July that was going to decrease pollination and lead to less bushels. And yet we got through harvesting and by Jove, there was quite a crop out there.
Well, that's, I guess that's good news, but you're right. It sort of creates a question. Now, okay, well, maybe the price is going down, but there's more bushels coming in. So are the farmers better than we thought, worse than we thought, or about the same? And I think your comments were it's sort of a wash.
It's sort of a wash on those, you know, what you see between the WASDE report and where the bridge payments are going to come in. If you talk to ag lenders in the region, and thankfully many of them are willing to give some insight, they're saying, you know, we have more people looking towards mediation in the state of Minnesota than we have in a combination of the last 3 years. We see more folks that are really looking at transition planning. How do I get out? Because I don't want to lose all of my equity. Should I be renting out more land this year? What changes should I be making? Should I sell some land or give up some rented ground in order to lower my exposure and make things more manageable for me? So right now, ag lenders will tell you that only about 52% of farms will actually look on paper like they made money in 2025.
Yeah. You know, it's a really interesting subject. I've talked to a number of farmers because it's kind of part of my DNA. You grow up on the farm and it never really leaves you. So anywhere I go, I talk to people who are in the business. I say, hey, how is it right now? And without getting into a lot of detail, even the operators who are good at what they do have historically run profitable operations say it's tough right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the key. We know that young farmers, we know that if you're highly leveraged, it's tough right now because your loan payments are probably going up, your inputs are probably going up. Well, they are going up. And your commodity price, the money you're getting, is not keeping up with that. But even the guys that own all their stuff, that don't have a lot of loans out there, that know what they're doing and have good cropland and are growing, it's tough for everybody right now in some way.
In the last year, I have witnessed more farms taking on additional businesses to add value to their farmland. They're buying tile plows and doing more drain tile. They are buying drones that they are using for spraying applications or doing custom work. Interesting to note, there's a headline about a company called JP Tower Consulting who specializes in working with farmers and landowners in cell tower lease renewals, buyouts, and negotiations, because they're finding that is a supplementary income to farms at this point, is being able to lease out some of that ground.
And a lot of the time, mom is going into town to work a job because that's part of the deal too.
Sure it is. Some of these decisions are falling to folks that really don't know who to ask. Here's my example to that. Do you know who is the largest landowner group in the state of Iowa?
The federal government.
Women over 80.
Oh, women. Oh, is that right?
Widows.
Okay.
Land was passed on. They're still alive. The sons are managing. The daughters are managing. But mom still owns it. Hmm. And they're also a critical spot where we're concerned about fraud, because somebody calls up mom or stops by the nursing home and says, how about you lease me some land, and then find out it's not a real deal.
Oh, a really good point. Last thing I want to ask you about, you talked about beef production. We got a lot of ranchers out in Watford City, that area, Stanley, Tioga, that listen to us. Beef prices are the one thing that inflation still is tough, up about 15 to 17% year over year. Why are we seeing the jumps like that? I mean, beef was expensive a year ago, and now another 15% on top of it. Is there a squeeze going on that hasn't been talked about much?
We just don't have the supply. I mean, the realistically, what has happened over the last 5 years with drought conditions and so forth led to a lot of herd liquidation across the U.S. And so because this is not a factory-produced product, we can't turn on a spigot and pop out more calves. It takes time to build those herds. And when you have these high numbers, you have folks that have been in production for a long time who say, wow, I could go out on a high note and sell off their stock. But then you have younger producers who say, I can't afford to buy what that older producer wants to sell at that level. And so those cattle are going to slaughter versus back into the pastures for further production. So the hope is that as we get through 2027, we can start to see an increase in herd numbers. There's a lot of discussion as to how that's going to happen. Are we on track for it to happen as of yet? But we're going to watch and see how it goes.
Yeah, and well, demand must still be strong, right?
People like
lean beef, so that's a big deal.
And Ozempic and other GLP drugs are pushing us to more proteins.
Oh, good point. Yeah, good point. Yeah, that's all part of the cycle there. Good stuff. Bridget, a ton of fun. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Bridget Riedel, the one and only Fieldstone Group Ag Director, joining us here on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. When we come back, I saw a mugshot in a news story, and I said, isn't there a better way to take these mugshots? I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about coming up next on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. Don't go away. Well, speaking of ag topics, love visiting with Bridget Riedel, but Bridget would join me in saying to you, if you are someone who works in the ag community in any way, if you're a farmer or you work on the farm, be so careful in grain bins. A man died in Devil's Lake in a grain elevator after getting trapped in corn. And it was an elevator pit, a grain elevator pit, which I'm trying to think of what that is, if that's maybe like a big hopper that you dump the truck into or the trailer into, the gravity box into, and then they go. Anyway, 34-year-old guy died Wednesday morning after being trapped inside a grain elevator pit. Fell into the pit, trapped in corn. They tried to get him out, but he was dead when they got him out. It's a horrible thing. The sickest I ever got in my whole life was going into a corn bin. We had high moisture corn growing up on my dad's farm, and it got a little moldy in there. We didn't know it. Dad goes, "Hey, go in there." And there wasn't an issue of in that case. It was the concrete pad on the floor was showing a little bit, but he said it's kind of getting trapped in there. It's not feeding down into the auger very well. So can you go in there and break it up a little bit? And I got so sick. I wanted to die. It was that bad, and a mold poisoning. And the doctor said, don't ever do that again. You can do that once and get away with it, but you don't want to ever do that again. So a lot of reasons to be careful. We love our corn, but you got to be careful with that. And man, just watch in those bins. Have some way to secure yourself so you can't go down and get trapped in there. Oh, what a horrible way to die, too. Golly. Okay, speaking of horrible, sorry, I just want to touch on this quick. This story is just your typical bad news story, bad people story. But this Valley News Live has a story about a Fargo man sentenced for possession of child sex abuse materials. And I didn't give you the story today. It's not anything we need to really spend a lot of time on. But the mugshot of the guy is one where he's wearing a T-shirt of a local restaurant, one that's very well known in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. And I thought to myself, and I'm not going to say the name of it because the poor restaurant's already been sort of dragged through the mud on this. I'm like, shouldn't they just put a vest on the guy when they're booking him, the booking photo, so you're not seeing, you know, Jimmy's restaurant or, you know, Dan's place or whatever on the booking photo? Because this poor restaurant now is in a story about some guy, some creep pervo who was possessing child sex abuse materials. Isn't there a better way? I just want to throw it out. Isn't there a better way that we can do this? If you're looking for a better way to make a living, I would encourage you to get a hold of the good folks at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, because they are hiring in their sales team and their service department as well. On the sales side, make money just helping people you know get into a car, truck, or SUV that they've been looking for. And if you're a tech, wow, they make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. Vision Ford Lincoln, not just a place to buy a great set of wheels, it's a place to put your service career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. drivewithvision.com. Well, Addison, we have a little losing streak going here.
We do. I really had faith in today, but next week will be better for us.
Alan Paulson of Moorhead did not call today to secure his place. I think this is 3 days in a row.
I think it is. You know, I dare say it might be four.
It might be four. Let's not let that get. That's not good PR for the Steve Alstrom show.
It's not. But I would like to throw out a small reminder to anyone who missed their chance to call in today. They are not. They still have a chance to get their name thrown back in if they show up at any of the live stops.
Oh, at the live? Yeah, the live stops.
So even if you miss your name being called, you call in later or you miss your 11 minutes, you've still got a chance. So do not give up.
Yeah, and you don't want to give up because this prize is the bomb. Really cool stuff. Breaking news here into the studio today. Todd Glander is resigning as Becker County Sheriff. I guess maybe you'd say he's retiring rather than resigning. He's been wearing that uniform over there in Becker County for 38 years and announced this morning that he is not going to seek re-election and says, I'm going to retire at the end of this term after a lot of prayer, reflection, and heartfelt discussions with my wife. Congratulations, Sheriff Glander. Wow, 38 years, almost four decades doing it. All right, before we finish up, we got time for a quick call. Crystal wants to talk about dairy farmers. Hey, Crystal.
Yeah, hey there, Steve. Real interesting press conference the other day with milk. And they're going to be having whole milk now in schools again. And, you know, a lot of us, when we were in school, we had the coffee places and we had milk and juice and stuff. But it was just really tremendous. And Secretary of Ag, Brooke, was there. Secretary of the Medicine, Kennedy. And looking at the benefits of whole milk, and one of the things that RFK was talking about also was in regards to President Trump, was he's been a longtime milk drinker, and he's got high testosterone. Not necessarily that they go together, but it was just kind of gave me the giggles. Because, you know, our president is an alpha male, you know, very strong, very competitive.
No doubt.
And I'm thinking, you know, milk, it builds the body good.
I guess so.
Slogan.
I guess so.
And yeah, so all the dairy farmers out there, you know, the schools are going to be having whole milk choices.
You're doing God's work. I love
it.
Crystal, thanks so much for calling. Good stuff there. Yeah, this is the part of the whole Make America Healthy Again. We are asking questions we haven't asked for a long time, and it's great. Have a great day, my friend, and keep on flying that flag.